welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Trent. I'm here with my good friend, Alan, and we want to help you endure. We want to help you as you're doing what God has called you to do, to be able to do that successfully and to help you to navigate the stuff of every day. So, Alan, we've got a special guest with us today. Why don't you introduce him?
Yeah, we are so excited to have with us Clint Rogers with Pro Web Fire and Pro Media Fire, a company that I heard about a couple years ago. I was listening to a podcast. They were advertised. We were in desperate need of doing something with our website. It was the best we knew how to do, but it was not very good. We contacted them, and it has been a game changer in the life of our church. And so we reached out, and Clint was gracious enough to join us today. So Clint, I'm going to let you tell us about yourself and tell us about your role.
Yes. Well, thank you, Alan and Trent, for having me on. We've been so honored, just number one, Alan, to be a part of your church and just really helping you with your website and reaching out digitally. And we're honored to be here on the Enduring Podcast. So thank you, both gentlemen, for having me on today, that we could just talk to pastors. That's our passion. That's our heart, really helping churches reach more people for Christ online with creative and digital. So a little bit of my part in it. I'm the managing director, and so really honored to be a part of leading the team over at Pro Web Fire and Pro Media Fire. And it's been an exciting journey. As we all know, things have shifted from last year. It feels like we've lived about 3-4 years from what we went through last year. But we've been honored because we've been a part of doing digital years before COVID happened. And it's just been a great honor helping churches during this time and moving forward. So
that's awesome. Well, and Clint, I know that you have just had a new little one. So tell us about your family. We're excited for you, man. We're cheering you on.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, we have 4 kids. And so we have a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, a girl and a boy. And then we decided to go back and do it again. So everyone out there will appreciate it. Now I have a toddler and a newborn. So it's a lot of fun. My wife and I are getting no sleep right now.
That's right. Hey. You don't have any big bags under your eyes, so you're doing great, and that's awesome.
Oh, well, thanks. It's a lot of fun.
Good deal. Well, I've been watching Alan go through this process with his church and updating their website, and I will tell you that you guys have done a tremendous job. It really looks very good, and we were talking before we began recording this today how things have changed. You know, as far as the way that people interact and start looking at churches before they even come to your door, they will look at you and watch a service online. And so this is a great opportunity, if you're watching this or listening to this, pastors, to be able to get some good info.
Yeah, so we to get to our story 2 years ago, again, we looked at our website and said, this is not working. If I came and looked at this, I'm not sure I'd be drawn to this church. And it didn't express who we really were. And so we began a process, a partnership with you to update our website. We looked around, you know, our first thing, there's got to be someone here. And then, you know, someone said, well, there's probably some teenager that does websites. And we're like, we need a professional website. We don't need a teenager's perspective on a website. We need a professional look, and we partnered with you, and that's certainly something that I don't regret. Now, how did Pro Web Fire come around, and why is it important?
And that's a great question, Alan, as you asked that, because really it starts a lot with my personal story, is that I started out on the missions field. And so here I was over in, you know, Africa, and I'm learning a culture, and I'm learning a language, and how to help the local church reach people for Christ. And that's where my story began, really in evangelism, overseas and missions work. And so here we are, we would come in and help the local church reach. And the powerful thing is, started in Africa and then went down in Central South America, and just a heart reaching people for Christ. And then my wife and I, we had the experience through 2008, if you remember our last crisis, as that all came about. My wife and I, while we're on the missions field, we'd invested in real estate with some friends from the church here in the States and lost everything. So here we are back from the mission, horror nightmare story. And we're back on the missions field, staying with family. I'm at rock bottom. I'm thinking, man, how do we get to this place? How did I make this horrible decision? After really I forgave the guy we did business with, forgave myself, God restored and saved our marriage. My wife and I got to the other side. We started traveling at some local churches in the U.S. that we had a relationship with and sharing our story, what God did in our lives. Here we are off the missions field. And we begin to see church after church. They weren't speaking the language of culture. And all of a sudden, it clicked. My years on the missions field, understanding culture. And so I was honored to be a part of starting Pro Webfire and Pro Mediafire. We started it with the sole intent of helping the local church reach people for Christ. And so it started with a small team, and now it's grown to where we have a large team helping churches around the globe, and we've been so honored. But I will tell you, that's where it all starts from. So your question, Alan, the honor of helping you and your church and every church we're part of, our passion is evangelism. So what we caught is, I realized the very start is that when we started Pro Mediafire, Pro Webfire, was to help the local church reach people online, to help them reach and start the conversation to bring people for Christ. And now we've been so honored to watch churches grow and see families come to the Lord and to see the results of being a part of this. But it all started on the missions field with understanding coming into a culture, because many churches don't realize, it's real simplistic, but they don't realize they're not speaking the language of culture. I'll give you a great example that you'll kind of catch this, Alan, and also, you know, Trent here as we catch. It's interesting is that social media, this is where it happens. You'll have one of your, you know, younger families, they'll be on there. Take an example of, think of your grandparents. They're on Facebook. And so some of those that are out there, or maybe, you know, yourself or others, we're sharing something that we see relevant to our generation. Or maybe whether you're in your 70s, 80s, 60s, 50s, you're sharing something you feel relevant to all your friends, but your kids or your grandkids get the same post. Do they share it? A lot of churches are like that. You like it, you give some love, you're like, hey, you know what, mom and dad, I love that. You know what, grandma, grandpa, I love that, but you don't share it. And so really getting specific about our audience online is where it all starts. And that's where that mission, speaking the language of culture, when we shape and come in with a new website and we begin to say, hey, you wanna reach young families? Let's speak to young families. And it's a game changer, just like on social, where you realize, hey, let me be really mindful about my content, because you realize your content is going to start the conversation about Christ. And you want those that are on there to share your church's content and not for them to feel like a relative you love. I love my church, but I don't want to share my church with others.
That's great, Clint. And it's so true. We've been talking, Alan and I've talked several times about how, you know, you've got different age groups that are in Facebook, but they're not in, some of the younger people are not on Facebook. And so the web culture has changed for churches. Tell us a little bit more about how that change has taken place and what's different for churches now.
You know, that's a great question there, Trent, as well. The thing that is real shift that's taken place is we've seen, one, we did go from the front door to now looking at also to your video, and there is just your welcome and really just how you're speaking to them coming on. Another shift is the church has become hybrid with COVID. And that's something that from here on out, we all realized when we had to shut our doors and go all digital. The blessing of that was we all realized how important digital was. And that's probably the huge game changer, is that for the first time, our boards realize we need to invest in digital. We need to put some finances and resources there. There's been a huge shift there. But moving forward, the big shift that's happened now with online, with our website and everything for the church, is that now digital and watching an online service, going to the website, having an online experience, is now a real substitute for if I'm sick, if I'm not well, if I need to, you know, like myself, the kids, we've got a newborn, we're not going to make it to church with the family. We're okay with, hey, let's pull the family together. Let's watch online for a Sunday. We still give. We're still a part of our church. We're still there. That's a major shift moving forward for all of us that we need to understand and really speak into and make some shifts to understand that our web presence is just as vital to what we do online Sunday morning at the service. That the two now, it's like a hybrid vehicle moving forward that is going to run on electric as well as on gas. Both of them will continue moving forward. You're not going to have one overtake the other, but you will have now where your web is just as important as your physical.
Mm. Good.
Yeah, no, that's one of the changes that we had to make last year to our website was encoding the weekly video. So even though it doesn't appear live on our website right now, it goes in live on our YouTube channel. But as soon as that's done, it encodes right back into our website, and people are checking that out during the week. You know, our church isn't just a Sunday service now; it's a weekly service, and we've had to remember that people are watching that through the week, and that's important. It's important to recognize that the front door was your website. Now it's the website and the video, right?
Exactly, Alan. It's interesting because that shift took place where I think the church has been a little bit late to get there because we've all been doing Netflix for a while. So our content is on demand. We can watch it when we want, be there. So you're right. The video is so important, and having all of this where they can come have church, you know, watch it on Sunday night. We can watch it during the week. Something we did see that took place, we started seeing with churches pre-COVID, where it's that much more now, was that people would watch sometimes for weeks or months the actual live stream before walking into the service. And that was a game changer, as you mentioned, that now we're looking at the website, we're watching, and the big shift from those that you've pastored and you've been a part of ministry 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the shift now is that when someone walks into your physical service, they've already decided they like you. Now the decision is, do I want to make this home? So are you continuing the experience? See, we were used to, they're coming in cold, almost like you watch someone online. They already know you. Oh, we like this church. We like this pastor. Oh, you know, let's go check. Babe, let's go check it out. That's how we are. We look for a church, you know, coming in, our friends, you move into a new area, you're checking out online. And the moment you show up, you already know you like the culture, you like who they are. And now it's like, do we want to make this home? And do our kids like the kids service? Do our kids, that's the stuff you can't get online, those other little pieces that are going to be a part of it. And how welcoming are they when I really walk through the door? But that's a huge shift. So people are already walking, and it's not a cold experience, the majority, unless somebody invited them word of mouth. And they're just walking in.
Oh, man, that is so good. Well, so, okay, Alan and I talk with pastors around the country, and we're visiting with guys and a lot of small churches that are figuring out, hey, this is something I should spend more time on, a little more attention to. What are some important things that you would say to a church that is just getting ready to put together a website? What are some important things you would say to them?
I would say that one of the first places to start, especially for a smaller church that we see, is that understanding who you are. You know, it's something that we find often is we'll come in, and especially when you answer the call to ministry, you want to reach everyone for Christ. That's our heart. That's our passion. We want to reach young and old. But a lot of times we'll start in that conversation, even, you know, who is it that's resonating with your message? Who do you want to reach? And really leaning in on you. So as you start with your website, as you start building your digital, your social, all of it, you really need to go, who's resonating with our message? A great example is this. There was a pastor that come to us, and I'm chatting with them, and they're struggling online, and they're rebuilding their website, and they're struggling trying to really set up their social. And I was asking him, so tell me a little bit about you and who are you reaching at the church? It was a small church, and they're beginning to grow and have some traction. And I just said, you know, who are you reaching? He says, we're really reaching young couples. The couples are really just resonating with the sermons and the messages. I said, why? He said, well, let me tell you. He said, I'll tell you why. My wife and I, we were on the edge of divorce. We were almost there. I mean, just we're right at the end of the rope, and God saved our marriage. He did this beautiful work in our lives. And now we share and we speak about it. And it's a big part of our ministry. And I turned to the pastor. Here, I said, where is that on your website? Where is that on your social? I get none of that. You're telling me when someone comes and visits the church and they hear this message, a young couple that visits or another young couple that brings them, they resonate and they come to Christ, or their marriage is restored, their lives are changed if they're believers. And there's this huge work that goes on. So what did we do? We said, hey, let's take who you are and zero in on that. Let's really speak in who you are, who you're reaching. Let's focus on young couples, young families on the website. Let's design with that in mind. Let's then take your social, begin to share your story, begin to focus on this more. So one of the first things that I would really recommend is, you know, really discover who you are and who you're reaching and lean in on it. Don't try and be everyone. Oftentimes we're looking at the big church, or we're looking at someone else, and we miss it. You have a strength that, you know, there's only one of you. And we're in such a culture where now the algorithm's feeding you what you want on Google, on YouTube, everything. We're getting a little confirmation bias, but everything is very personalized now. So the more you lean on who God's created you, and the more we're like the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he said, I rejoice that Christ is preached down the way. And we're glad that church is there. They're not us. We're a different DNA, a different culture. Hey, they're going to reach somebody we're not going to reach for Christ. We're going to reach someone here. So the more you lean in on you, not just in person, but also online, and you bring out who you are, actually, the more you'll grow. So let that touch your design. Let that touch your social. And the more you know who you want to reach and who you are, and you bring that out digitally, the more impact you'll have and the more growth you'll experience.
Yeah, that's a great place. I mean, that's a great place to begin. The who, you know, I think for us is recognizing that we're kind of in an area of transition where we've been a rural community, but there's all these new homes coming in and we're transitioning to a more suburban community and trying to recognize how do we bridge that gap. And I think this that our experience with you has been a big part of that. What would you say? So people talk a lot about the landing page, that first page. What's so important about that first page? It's the first impression. I get that, but what's important on that page?
It is, and you know, and that was our experience. You're exactly right. And walking through Alan with you and your church, and we're honored to be a part of that. And really, that shift and just the change in your community, and also going from rural, who you're reaching, the new families as well. And the thing to be mindful of with the first page, as you mentioned, that it's a landing page in itself, is that today decisions are made in split seconds. So we've all done it, all of us. You hit a website, you even saw something on Facebook or you saw something on Google, you clicked on a link and you didn't even read it. It was a decision, oh, no, this is not for me, or this is not, boom, and you jumped. It's that bounce rate, but you made a decision in split seconds, it's not for me. And you didn't even dive into the content. We've all done it. The interesting thing about that is a great example, pre-COVID, when the malls were full. I'll think of pre-COVID. You'll remember, you know, walking down, even though, you know, our mall's still going, you know, locally, but it's not like it was. But, you know, when you're walking through the mall, something that's interesting about the mall is the mall immediately calls out who their target audience is. And that's something that's so powerful with your design. And so that's what you're doing with design, why design matters. You walk down the mall and you can tell there's the Abercrombie and Fitch, and you walk, the music is loud. You know, it's this different vibe. It's, you walk into this tight little space and loud music. They're going after a young crowd. You know, it's just, that's, we know right off the bat who they want to reach. And so each store is targeting who they want to reach. It's the same thing with design in all areas. Your design matters, that front page, because that's what's going to start the conversation. So the one thing that's unfair, it really is, it's not fair, but it's the world we live in today for a small church and for all of us, is that we have been trained. It's unfair, but you have an advantage as well if you understand this, is that now the expectation of media is the same, whether you're in a rural community or whether you're in a big city. So where it used to be is you're in a rural town, your people, there was a different expectation. I'd have to spend as much. I didn't need a nice little website. I didn't need as much of these things. Well, now the problem is in the rural communities, we're still watching YouTube. We're still on Facebook. We're still getting a high level of content. So we have an expectation for that website to be nice. So design where it's professional, it looks good, and it doesn't pull off. That's why it does matter if your website is outdated, it's from 10 years ago, you haven't invested, you know, or you just look at it, the design. And what you need to do is go ask some people to give you some honest feedback. That's really a lot of times a great place to start, but it matters your design because it starts the conversation. If you design and it's professional, you can be small, a small church, and it doesn't matter your size. If the website's professional and it's inviting to you, we actually have found some people prefer small churches in a community and something that's small. And there's some people that really love that. And so a lot of times small churches need to realize, lean in on that, your relationship, your community, who you are. But if it's professional, you'll start the conversation and pull them in. And so that's something kind of where it starts. Let me tell you one other illustration you guys will appreciate, and also the audience as you hear, is my actually brother-in-law. You know, here he is. He's a millennial. He works for a big tech firm. They're moving into a new city. And him and his wife, I asked him, I said, tell me about your experience, how you looked for a church in that new city when you went. And this will help everyone listening, because listen to his experience. He came from a small rural church, and so he wanted a small church. Great example. He actually wanted that. And he said, well, what I did is I started looking online, my wife and I. And he said, I started looking at churches that he said, I knew they were good people, but I couldn't get past the design. He said, I just couldn't get past it to get into the conversation. So I said, who did you go visit in the end? Well, I went visit about a mid-sized church because we didn't want something real big. He says, but just because the web spoke to me, it brought in the conversation. But he said, I wanted some of these smaller churches. I would have preferred that. But their design was so not speaking to him. It was not calling him out that he couldn't get past it to begin the conversation. And he was a believer. Him and his wife were highly engaged. They love getting involved. The worship team and their church, wherever they're at, they're big givers. And it's like they wanted to be involved and they preferred a smaller church, but he couldn't find one that spoke to him with the website. Now, this was a number a few years back now, but it speaks to us to say the website's so important to starting the conversation with the lost and also the believer that's new to the area looking for a church.
I think that's so true. You know, Clint, several years ago, my family and I were traveling through the U.S. and we were on a Sunday morning, we wanted to stop and go to a church and we were just searching and we couldn't find on most websites, they didn't even have their service time or what, how to a map, how to get to their place. And I was like, really? Come on, this is just basic things, you know, and it's so important. And, you know, even we, that caused us to go back and reevaluate our Yelp likes and things like that and Google likes. And it was important for us. And so you mentioned pulling people in. One of the big times that we do that is during the Easter season. And so I wanted to ask you, Clint, how can your company help churches with their Easter outreach?
What we do is we actually will design actually a campaign for Easter where we do the social. So we'll design it out where you'll have the graphics or the video and pull them in and pay for some advertising depending upon the budget of the church and then bring them in to the actual service itself. What I would encourage is even if there's someone listening and you don't have the budget for that now, I would encourage to be very active. Just get out right now to be very active in Easter and encourage all of your people, encourage them to share your content. So even if you can, make something that's very real. And one thought is I want to come back to the personal too as well. Once again, with the church, if you're on social, we've actually found that very personal content, especially during COVID, it doesn't have to be super professional, but even if you shoot something with the pastor, one of the team, you shoot something, a young family telling a testimony, others, and then you want to put a little money behind that, or if you want to do it for free, have all of your people share it. Now coming up the Sunday before Easter, say, hey, we're preparing this graphic. We're preparing this video for Easter service. Would everyone share this on Facebook? Hey, let's all go out this week and really invite our friends, invite people that are hungry. And today I would be mindful to make sure that you invite them, not just physically, but also online. I would say make sure because it is hybrid. And so really making that shift there. But we're honored to help those. If you did have, you know, a budget or if you were interested in paying for a team to help you with that, you could always reach out. We'd be honored to help any churches in that area.
Yeah, social media is a part of your website now. They're not two separate things. They work together. The social media drives people to your website, which hopefully drives them to your service. Which hopefully drives them to become a part of your community, and it all works together. You can't really neglect one part of that.
That's so true, Alan. And I think that if we kind of take that mindset as a church, where social media is evangelistic, and so that's our reach, and our hub now is our website. So that's our hub. So you're exactly right. What you want to be very careful of is that you always have digital next step pathways that you bring people from social to your hub, your website, and begin the conversation where you can begin to develop a relationship. And you can bring them into a Facebook group if you wanted, but even better if you can push them in to actually relationship. They're attending your services or to sending some type of small groups, you're really starting relationship. You can do that online, but it starts with social. And then once again, your next step, you want to drive them into your hub, into your services, into your small groups, what you're doing. And once again, beginning that relationship and conversation to really drive them to Christ.
Well, Clint, I really appreciate your heart. You began by telling us kind of how this all began, and that you have a heart for sharing or helping churches to share Christ and be very evangelical. So we want to give you just a moment. Just tell us a little bit more or why someone should choose your company, ProWebFire or ProMediaFire. Just give us a little bit more information about those.
Yeah, so ProMediaFire and ProWebFire. ProMediaFire is a creative team. So we do custom graphics, videos, we do social media management, all of those pieces on our ProMediaFire arm. And then our ProWebFire is all of our, once again, digital. That is, you know, our website development, digital strategy, all of these pieces for next step. We have a full team there building custom websites and digital pathways to helping you have that front door and reach more people for Christ. And I will say out there, everything we do is custom work. We're all believers. We all love seeing churches grow, reach people for Christ. It's our passion. It's our heart. And I will say something, plant a little seed. If anyone's listening and you say, maybe you get on, and you're like, hey, I don't have the budget, and we work with all different budgets for maybe ProMediaFire, ProWebFire. We are releasing in the next few months something for small churches that is going to be available in the area of websites and media that doesn't exist at this point in the church space. And we're very excited about this. We've been working with a focus group, and that will be coming soon. So you can reach out to us as well. If you got on and you said, this isn't in our budget, just ping our team and say, hey, can you tell us about that? What's coming out new, that new brand down the line? And we'd love and be honored to serve anyone that's out there. But we do work with churches of all size, small, also large, depending upon your budget. We'll work with you, and we're honored. Our main objective is, if we're working together down the line, like we've been honored to be a part of just Pastor Allen and Creekside, what you're doing, is if we can look back and see, you know, whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now, digital's a long game. You can say, we had a new family come. We've had people that have been, you know, that have been impacted because of online, and we've started to hear people say that we showed up because we saw something on social, and then we came to the website, and then we ended up and they came to Christ, so they began to attend the church. We love hearing those stories, and that's why we do what we do, helping churches reach more people for Christ.
Well, it's certainly been great for us, and a couple of things you didn't mention that I really love. Every 3 years, we get a new design. That's part of the process, and so you recognize that what looked good 3 years ago doesn't look good 3 years later, and I appreciate that. That really, that's a thoughtful thing. To recognize what's going on in the sphere of what we're doing. And so, you know, I'm already thinking, wow, what's it going to look like in another 2 years from that? And then I think one of the other things is there, you can shop around to find someone to do your website for you. It's much cheaper than a staff person. It is always cheaper than a staff person to come to you guys and recognize that, you know, if you get three or four families who are actively engaged, this has paid for itself. And I think that that is very true and beneficial. And it certainly takes a lot of stress off a pastor's life, too, to try to figure that out. And for me, it's worth that. I can tell you that for sure. And so very grateful for what you're doing. And I know we didn't talk a lot about ProMediaFire, but that's certainly another vehicle that you have.
Yes, we do as well. And I know we've focused on ProWebFire, but we've been honored to be a part of that too as well, on your side. And I will say that is something with both of them to be mindful, whether it's us or someone else, is that number one, I would encourage everyone listening, invest in digital. Overcome the churches that are going to make it through coming out of the pandemic, the future and the hybrid, you really need to invest in digital moving forward. Our hearts is we don't want to see any churches have to close their doors in the days ahead. But the digital is so vital. It is your website, all of these pieces moving forward. And like you said, Alan, it's, you really got to look at, hey, what if we brought in someone like ourselves? We look at it, it's less than the cost of a staff hire. So you make an investment, you got professionals working for you, but it's less than the cost of a staff hire, and it's a win for all sides. We can provide for our professionals, their families who love serving the local church, and at the same time, the local church can thrive, reach people for Christ. So it's kind of a win-win.
That's so good. There's so much good information, and this is an area, especially small churches, that Alan and I like to encourage. They need some help in this area, and I'm so thankful, Clint, that you are willing to take some time with us today and tell us about your company and some good helpful information for us as we deal with this. Thank you so much, Clint.
Oh, thank you for having us, both of you. And if anyone out there, you do need a new website, you want to check us out, you can go to prowebfire.com. That's prowebfire.com. So thank you so much, Alan Trent. It's an honor to be on with you.
Yes, and you'll get personal attention through them, and you will enjoy that process. So I'd encourage you to go to their website. And hey, don't forget to check us out. You can catch us on our Facebook page or on our website. We're here to help your church. And so maybe you feel like you've got a good website, but there's something else that's going on and you would like a church consultation, Trent and I are available. We just want you to know that we care for you. Reach out to us. Alan@enduringchurches.consulting, Trent@enduringchurches.consulting. We'd love to hear from you and know how we can walk alongside you and help you and your church endure. And we look forward to catching you next time on the Enduring Churches podcast.